You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers pull one out against the Bears.
Jair seems to be having a self-filtering issue.
Meanwhile, the Pack becomes the winningest team in league history.
And the bye week is upon us.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for some Packers fun and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season, doing this crazy thing. As usual, our esteemed hosts tonight are CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of the Packers Talk podcast. Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years in Wisconsin, with offices across the street from Lambeau Field and in Milwaukee. For Packers game tickets, please visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com, and please tell them we sent you. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get this show on the road.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
All right. Well, you know, we all predicted the Bears to lose last week. And for about three quarters of a game, we were really nervous we were all going to take a loss.
No, we weren't.
You were nervous.
I was comfortably optimistic.
No.
Yeah, I'm a liar, okay? I was like doom and gloom.
Liar, liar, liar.
Liar.
Lies.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
I was getting depressed. I was like, you know, when we're down by 13 points, I'm like, please, please don't tell me we're going to get spanked by the Bears. Not just lose, but get spanked, because it didn't look good at that point now, did it?
No, and no. I was just waiting for the gloating text from a college friend who always goes to the Packers-Bears game because he's a Bears fan.
And I was just dreading the embarrassment that we would have to suffer if they were to lose to a 3-9 team and get spanked by them. Ugh.
Do you know how we keep saying the Packers can't seem to put together four quarters of football?
The Bears are worse.
If you were to extrapolate the score from the first three quarters to four quarters, the Packers would have lost 24-13.
Ooh.
If you were to extrapolate the score of the fourth quarter to all four quarters, we won 72-0.
72. What? You're making that up.
No.
Magic math here.
How do you get that?
You multiply how many points they scored in the fourth quarter by four.
And how many did they? They didn't score 24 points in the. How many did they score?
It sounds good. 20. Yeah, it's somewhere. Yeah. Anyway,
so
no.
So tune
regardless,
in next week where CD pulls just numbers out of his ear.
I knew he was just making stuff up.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but they would have won 108-32.
Three quarters.
Just go for 144. Full
we're not effective at all. And suddenly the fourth quarter, they just pull it all together. And I don't know if you guys noticed, the Bears appear to just kind of roll over. Like, they had everything going in the first quarter. You're just like, we can't stop Justin Fields. He's completing passes in the middle of the field with no one around him. It's every other game we've seen. And suddenly in the fourth quarter,
he turned into Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kirk Cousins is having a pretty good year.
Yeah, he's still good for one or two interceptions, though.
Right. No, but what really happened was the favor they did the Packers is that Fields stopped running for whatever reason. The coaches told him, you know, they didn't want him doing that because he had, you know, he's coming off an injury or whatnot. Whatever the reason, there were three or four times when he passed the ball, when he was like running and he passed the ball just before he got to the line of scrimmage, and he had so much room to run. And I just envisioned another 50-yard touchdown run, but he threw the ball for like a 10-yard completion. I was like, oh, that was a win for us.
Yeah, no kidding.
you know, it was just a 10-yard pass. So I don't know why, but they did it, and I'm grateful. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was really kind of shocking because he had 71 yards on the ground. And we didn't have an answer to him.
First quarter or?
No, that was all of it. It seemed like he just gashed us, and it did feel a lot because he had the stats of a mid-range wide receiver, but it was only 6 attempts on 71 yards, but one of those was for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It seemed like he ran like 200.
Yeah, but he's like on pace. Is he not on pace for almost like 1,000 yards rushing this season?
He's got a lot of yards.
Regular season.
Bears stats are not my bailiwick.
Anyway, it's just amazing though, because I don't think it's ever healthy for a team to be that dependent on your quarterback rushing. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a Super Bowl winner that basically said to their offense, you know, we're just going to score most of our yardage by having our quarterback run. You know, it's not really a winning combination.
Yeah, over time, yes.
They all get ground up.
Individual games, it can certainly work, right? We've seen it work for a lot of quarterbacks.
Colin Kaepernick.
Right? Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, you know, you name it. But over time, I think what you're saying is certainly true.
Right.
Well, you have these flashes of brilliance, and then you end up with career-ending injuries like Robert Griffin Jr. or RG3 Jr.
Right.
The third.
So
I corrected myself. Just settle down.
Probably one of the best stories, and I'll skip ahead just a touch here, is obviously the guy we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now is our man Christian Watson. Now with, is it 8 touchdowns in 4 games?
All he does is score touchdowns. Yeah, it was like 8 touchdowns. You're correct.
It's crazy, and I was very happy to be at his first 5 touchdowns at the game for both of those and see those live. But mm-hmm. You know, he's really blossomed, and the pace he's on, you know, for catching this many touchdowns in the game. I mean, he's being stated in the same breath as Sterling Sharp or Randy Moss in terms of the productions he's had in the past few weeks.
And he hasn't played a full season either, which is really remarkable. Correct. With the stats he's pulling down. You know, I was having a conversation with my brother earlier this week, and you compare him to Davante Adams in his first year, and I think he's got a more productive rookie year than Davante Adams.
Oh, very much so. I don't think Davante Adams had that good of a rookie year.
No, everyone was like, get rid of him. If you remember, everyone was super critical.
It was a wasted pick.
Yep.
Right? That's all
you Rodgers wouldn't throw to him.
Yeah, and that's the difference. You know, Christian had the drops, and they didn't give up on him. Rodgers did not give up on him. In fact, he doubled down and kept going to him. And it's starting to really pay off with accolades. He wasn't just, you know, was he rookie of the month, wasn't he, for November?
I don't know.
Not sure.
You should have that information instead of asking us.
Yes, exactly. You should have that in your notes. Show preparation, yes. You know, all that kind of stuff.
But
suffering, you know, jerks.
You're really starting to see some people who have at least have some semblance of class. You know, and I gave a shout out to our man Chris Lumpesis, who entitled his entire show "I Am Sorry, Christian Watson." For doubting, there's a lot of people, you know, it's kind of that whole Rashawn Gary thing all over again. It says, we're going to make a pick and we are just going to crap all over it before the kid even plays a down. Wasted pick. This is terrible. We should have taken George Pickens because he's clearly the end all be all. And
he's kind of a hot mess right now.
Yes. And, you know, Christian Watson, I bought a Christian Watson jersey, which I never do. I never buy a rookie jersey, but I really believe, and I believe he's going to be the best receiver coming out of this draft. And
I think he already is.
Well, in a rookie year, I'm talking career-wise. I mean, guy is the guy we look back on and we say,
no, you're probably right.
Remember us salivating over those top 4 guys, Olave, Pickens, and it's like, we have to get one of those 4 guys. And it's like, no, actually, we got 2 other defensive players in the first round, and then we still picked up the best receiver at the start of the second round. So,
Olave and Watson were my 2 that I wanted. Olave first.
I liked Olave.
And then Watson. And I'm certainly happy with the way things have worked out.
Absolutely. Jeez, it's almost as if Gutekunst knows what he's doing.
Except for third round picks.
No, third round picks never work.
The curse of the third. We got to find out why there's a curse on the third round. Like, what happened in Packers history in the third round that we are cursed? We'll have to investigate that.
I think it still goes back to that Charles Martin body slam, but that's how we're being cursed.
Was he a third rounder?
I don't know what he was.
Because I would have bought it if he was.
A couple interesting things. We had a couple. It was Justin Fields, but we did have a couple interceptions in the game, which was very exciting. And I face it, we didn't give up the ball at all. So two interceptions, that makes a huge, huge deal when you look at the final score.
And that's really something the Packers have been lacking this year, the number of takeaways. In years where they've been really a dangerous defense, they were taking, getting takeaways, either fumbles or interceptions in every game. And it seems like they are really few and far between this year. So it was nice to have two.
Yeah, one kind of turned the game around for the Packers, and the other kind of sealed the game for the
sealed
Packers.
Sealed the deal. Yeah, that was your dagger right there. I wasn't listening to Wayne, but I'm pretty sure he made a dagger comment.
So those were two very impactful interceptions.
And again, while Rodgers did seem to struggle on his downfield passes, I think PFF kind of graded him down ever so slightly, because while he was accurate in the short game, he did take several shots down the field that you kind of got a feeling he was just kind of thrown up there and hoping for an interference call.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
because after every one, he was running at the refs with his hands up, like, where's the interference?
It's European soccer. But, yeah. But you know, to be fair, the run game did make a return. Aaron Jones was out for a little bit injured, kind of went out, came back in, but really solid game. And when we do rush for 100 yards in a game, we do tend to win.
A.J. Dillon, the star of the day. It's December, so it's Dillon time.
But let's not forget that one of Watson's touchdowns was a run. You had different people running the ball. I know, he flew through the air at the end. It was awesome. But
don't worry, we will not forget that.
Yeah, but it's
and really he outran a guy who did a 4.33 40. That DB for the Bears, Blackwell. Yes.
He wanted to remind everybody he's got some speed that everyone seemed to forget about.
Just such tremendous raw talent, and I think that's just what excites me. I think that's kind of what excited me about Sterling Sharp when he came out, too. He just had this ability to be that physical in the air, and I think you hit it exactly on the head, because we talked about this weeks ago, where we were saying, well, we're hoping Romeo Doubs can come in and be our next Devontae eventually, but then I kind of asked you for your comparison of who you thought Christian Watson is going to end up being like, and you said...
Sterling Sharp.
No.
No, who did I say?
Megatron.
Yes. Well, Megatron.
Calvin Johnson. And, you know, that's exactly what you're looking at with that level of physicality. I mean, it's that man among boys feel that this, he can grow into it and keep that physicality, I mean, he's going to be able to do stuff on the field that people are just going to have to be watching with their jaws dropped, as we saw on that run.
Well, look at that victory leap into the end zone. Look how much vertical he got. Just a joyous leap into the air.
I gave him a 9.8 from the Jersey judge.
Like, what was Kelly, don't ask questions. You didn't do the research, but what was his vertical during the combine? Enormous.
We'll see if Amazon AWS has the next generation stats on that, and they'll do a little graphic for us.
But watching him do that, that's kind of a Megatron jump in the air and bring it down type ability.
So the overall record, and when I was, obviously in high school, and it was the 80s, and of course the Super Bowl shuffle, Bears were there, and I remember looking at that Bears overall record, Packers overall record, head-to-head, we were way far behind. I mean, like, you looked at it and said, I don't know if we could ever catch up in my lifetime. And especially because at that point, the Bears were still beating us twice a year. And now we lead the Bears 104 wins, 95 losses, 6 ties, head-to-head. It's pretty amazing that we have overcome that huge of a deficit.
And I think it was the mid-90s, the last time we were ahead. Head for a while.
We what?
It's taken a while. It's like it changes.
No, we've never really been ahead. I don't think we just went ahead like a couple, like
five one or two. Ago. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and now they've really taken off. Like, we all joke that Rodgers says I own you, but right now the Packers kind of own the Bears.
Yeah, over the Rodgers era for sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, Kelly, to answer mm-hmm. your question, which you didn't research before.
Oh, bad Kelly.
Christian Watson, vertical at the combine. Let's take a guess.
Look at how he leapt.
Give me your best guesses.
70,
come on.
70 feet.
Okay, come on. Give me a real
guess.
Okay,
now is the vertical to you where you reach with your fingertips, or is it how high you're okay.
11 feet, 6 inches.
No. It measures how far off the ground you get.
Oh, okay.
Reach with your fingertips, but the number is how far off the ground you get. That's the vertical.
Essentially where your feet are.
I'm going to say...
Oh, they subtract.
37 inches.
42, I'm going to guess.
38.5.
Oh. Ha-ha! I aimed high, so...
CD wins Price is Right because he did not go over.
Is that the little guy going up the mountain? Your lady, your lady.
No, it is not that. Well, everyone our age knows that when they were sick, they would watch that and hope that the only guy came on.
And his broad jump was 11.3 feet.
Wow.
He's got some spring to him, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and that'll take us, speaking of yodeling, that'll take us to the end of the first quarter.
Finally a win! Yay!
Yes, we've needed that.
A real win. Well,
we
didn't even have to fudge that one.
No. So now we're going to take...
Always twice as good when it's the Bears, too.
Yeah.
So
in the second quarter, we're going to talk about our amazing cornerback, highest paid defensive back in the league, did come up with an interception in the game, which was fantastic and amazing, kind of put the game, really kind of switched the game around. But he's kind of going off a little bit of the deep end after the game.
But he has since apologized.
Yeah, but he still did it. And I get a feeling he might have been in Peru with Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
Oh, my God, yes. He's gotten weird.
Yeah. I think he has established base camp on planet Jair.
not an island, it's a planet.
It's not an island, it's a planet, right? Planet Jair. Because he's definitely out there. He's proven to be definitely out there.
So obviously his name was Mud in the first half because he got beat on these huge, huge plays.
Which has been happening
all season.
Much more frequently than we would ever expect for the highest paid cornerback in the league.
Yeah, it's not been a good year for him. But then you get these flashes of brilliance and oh, there he is again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the deep throws. Maybe it's what he's being asked to do. I don't know. But ever since he asked to be manned up with the other team's best receivers, he's given up some long catches.
And they're not to, big name players.
With one exception, Terry McLaurin got him a couple of times, and that's a really, really good receiver. But other than that, you are correct.
I mean, it's not a particularly good quarterback in Justin Fields and, Harry. Aquinemius got a pass. It's like these guys, Aquinemius has 15 catches on the season.
But, if he's going to jump and a route at anybody, it's going to be Aquinemius because he knows how he plays. So it wasn't surprising that was the interception that he got.
Well, apparently Aquinemius is just a scrub.
That's what Jair said, yes.
Yes.
But then now I have that TLC song in my head.
But I'm just why would you even say something like that? I mean, this is your former teammate.
Yeah.
And I know he plays for the Bears now, but why would you call him a scrub? Because, he's not a starter.
What you do on Planet Jair.
I guess so.
But it's also but it's also the Packer-Bears rivalry. I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway with that because everybody talks smack when you play the Bears. Yeah. But he did text him the next day and apologize. He obviously, either somebody told him he had to or he felt bad about it. One of the two.
Yeah, EQ did seem to take it well and kind of shrug it off, which I'm not sure I would have done that, but good for him.
I would not have.
And, the other thing with Jair said he got yelled at halftime for giving up the long pass. And they said, who yelled at you? He goes, pretty much everybody.
So apparently we're not the only ones who are a little frustrated.
Yeah. Well, actually, I consider that good to know that kind of stuff is going on, because we don't see that. We don't know what's going on. If they, they come going into the locker room, losing to the Bears, and everybody just sits there quiet, or people are throwing chairs or yelling. Who knows what happens in there, right? So I'm actually glad to hear that.
The post-game videos of, handing out team balls always seems so artificial, but yeah.
So anyway, Jair had plenty to say.
So is there a little ayahuasca kind of working in here or what?
Yeah, I think he's all natural, actually, Jair.
His quote on Equipment is, "I knew it was coming. One thing about the receiver that I got the pick on, you're going to know when he's about to breaking down his route. So I already knew it. I envisioned it. I was telepathic because I seen it."
Kind of like telepathic.
Before it happened.
Right. I seen it in my head.
Okay, now you can interrupt.
And by the way, that's why he got beat on the one route, the one deep pass, because he was trying to jump the route. And that's exactly, and then I think that was Harry. He thought it was going to come to Harry short. He comes charging up. Fields doesn't throw it. And then Harry takes off deep. And that's when, there was the other thing. That's when Jair said that he was watching the play on the Jumbotron as he was running after Harry.
That is not how you never want to admit you're doing that.
He said, I've never done that before. It's the first time. He said, I couldn't believe he threw it. I was watching it on the Jumbotron and I was like, oh man, I better get back there.
Translation, he got caught with his finger in his nose and he was watching television.
Planet Jair.
Stop being so weird, Jair.
All right, so that'll take us to the end of the second quarter.
Yeah,
we're gonna call this one a push and hope that Jair gets help soon.
the help that he needs,
or something.
I think he's already doing something anyway.
Lay off the tripping balls, T buddy. Yeah.
That takes us to halftime. We'll step in the locker room. Please enjoy this message from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, and welcome back. My name is CD Angeli. You're listening to Cheesehead Radio in a highly motivated episode we're doing this week. To the right of me is Jersey Albracco. To the right, Kelly Hodgson. And
we're both on the right.
We're both on the right.
Yes.
To the right.
Trips to the right.
Bunch formation.
Which means I'm in the middle, apparently, this time.
Yes. I'm also on the right, by the way. So anyway.
Bunch formation.
We're live,
So much ado is made about the Packers and the Bears going into this game tied with the most wins overall in NFL history. And the winner would end up obviously taking that over. The interesting thing here, a little quiz question for you.
Uh-oh.
The Bears have had that record for quite some time. Can you tell me how long they've held the record for most wins in the NFL? When the Packers won and broke the record, how long was the record standing?
I'm going to say 25 years.
More.
Total blind guess.
I want to say the 70s.
Are you saying the 1970s or are you saying 70 years? Those are two different.
No, the 1970s, like when we were little.
More.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Okay, then so I'll go 70 years then.
Okay.
So they're like the...
More.
At the racetrack that gets out to a huge lead, and then finally, at the end of the race, everybody catches up to him, or at least one horse catches up to him.
At least once.
Yeah.
So she said 70 years. It is still more.
Wow.
That they've held this record for most
wins
in the NFL.
That I would never have thought.
So you're doing a terrible job of guessing.
Yes, we certainly are.
1939. I don't know. We're going to go even further.
With Green Bay's victory over Chicago, they won for the 787th time. Chicago was alone atop the all-time wins list for 101 years.
Seriously?
So, since the beginning?
Since the very beginning.
That is how long they have held the most wins record, 101 years.
Those bastards.
No wonder everybody hates them.
Right.
Now, part of the reason, which was, I thought, quite interesting, why the Bears were able to get that that little head start was not just the fact they started a year earlier than the Packers. They actually played quite a bit more games.
More games early
in the 20s.
Yeah.
They actually have 34 more NFL games than the Packers. And there was a plethora of reasons. The one that people are mostly pointing to is that there's a four-game disparity in 1927 where – the Bears played 14 games and the Packers only played 10 because they literally played a game on Thanksgiving and just said, We're out of money. We're out of money. We're just going to cancel our game.
Yeah. Packers had a few problems back then.
Yes. So, and back in those days before, you know, there was really a lot of regulation, you kind of did your own schedule. So, you know, it sometimes, like in 1925, the Bears just scheduled 17 games because they wanted to. And the Packers scheduled 13 games because they wanted to. So all of that adds up to 34 more games played, which means the Packers actually have a better winning percentage in all time than the Bears as well. They have one more win, but they actually have only 589 losses. The Bears have 620, and the Bears have 42 ties to the Packers, 38. So the Packers have a 572 winning percentage, whereas the Bears only have a 559.
Uh-huh.
So to quote J.J. Watt, we're just better than you.
Useless trivia for you.
Interesting, though.
It still blows my mind. It was like, we got money, we're going to play. It reminds me a lot of like kiddies, you know, youth soccer. It's like, okay, this is our schedule, but we're going to call the team over to see if we can get a couple more games just for kicks to make it worth the season.
So which team do you think has the least number of wins right now in NFL history of still active teams?
Active teams. Was it the Texans?
It is the Texans. They only have 140 wins.
Yes.
They are not good.
I figured it had to be an expansion team that came from the AFL, and they have been fairly bad, fairly consistently.
And you have to be short enough of a track record to, if you stink for a couple of years, it really has an impact on your, because if you're around for 100 years, things are going to even out just over time.
Interesting bit of trivia, the Texans are the only team that actually originated in the 21st century. They became a team in 2002. There's that interesting conversation you could have about the Cleveland Browns.
But they're not the Browns.
Yes.
The Browns became the Ravens.
Exactly. So there's that weird thing, too, on when those teams actually became one or the other. So.
And didn't the Oilers become
the Titans?
Titans, yeah.
Yeah. So technically, the Titans started in 1960 as the Oilers. Once you get down, but it really doesn't matter because the Packers, 1921, Bears, 1920, we're winning. Doesn't matter.
That's all that matters.
All that matters. And that, my friends, is a tremendous third quarter victory. So we are 2-0-1.
Huge win.
Yes. So what do we want to do for the fourth quarter, guys?
I know what CD wants to do.
CD, tell us a story.
Gather around, kids.
Show, but
gather around, everybody. Get the s'mores, you're going.
Get a map, because you're going
to... I actually listened to Lempus's show, and I was not aware of this until he mentioned it, but I didn't realize the Bears had purchased this property, this land, outside of Chicago, and they're planning on building this huge complex. You know, think about what the Packers have done. They got a stadium. They got the whole Titletown district they're trying to build. They have built this stuff, but it's in Arlington Park, which is going to be like, what, 23 miles away?
It's from my car. I just checked right now in the evening with light traffic. It's a 37-minute drive to downtown Chicago. It's going to be a lot longer. No, but that's like at 10 o'clock at night.
No, but I'm saying mileage-wise, it's 23 miles, right. Yeah, that's not that bad.
And the Bears are really going through with this. They spend $197 million for 326 acres.
For just the land,
not the stadium.
Now that was a racetrack. Is that racetrack no longer there? Or this property that was other property that was owned by the racetrack?
You really should research these questions before you ask them.
Well, I knew nothing about this until you brought it up. So that's why I'm asking questions. Only because I know Arlington Park as a racetrack. Anyway,
so the complex they're planning on building, I think I read, was going to be $5 billion. And it's going to include, obviously, a stadium. I know, it's a lot. But obviously, it's going to have this whole multi-purpose use area, kind of like the Packers have with Titletown.
Copycats.
Yeah, well.
Everybody
wants to be us.
We kind of copied New England, so let's be fair.
We're smarter, not harder.
Yeah. But it's going to be, you know, I'm looking at some of the architect sketches. I think they're anticipating it's going to be around 2026 is when it might be complete and ready to move. And we would then say goodbye to Soldier Field, which, by the way, lowest attendance capacity in the NFL.
It's a million-year-old stadium and not in a good way.
You know what? I kind of like really old stadiums. You know?
Yeah, I know. We have a really old stadium, but it's not in a good way. It's like, doesn't the city of Chicago maintain the grass, and that's why it's so bad?
I don't know. These are answers you should research before asking.
The theme of tonight is we ask questions.
We don't do any research is the theme.
No, the city of Chicago is involved with this, and that's why it's like terrible. Nobody likes playing it there. It's awful. The
well, have you seen city workers lately?
No, they're not happy.
Right? What do they care if the grass is good or not? Sorry, Chicago people.
Yeah. What is interesting is I was looking at it. My son, who lives in Evanston, takes what's called the Metra. It's a kind of a higher, high speed commuter train that goes all the way to Wisconsin, actually, all the way from Wisconsin to downtown Chicago. And on a different track, this Metra is going to go and stop right at the new stadium.
That's convenient.
Which is kind of interesting.
That'll make it easier. They do that in Minnesota too, though. To get to Minneapolis games, there's the light rail that'll take you out to the burbs.
Yeah.
To get to where the hotels are located.
We took a train to the Cubs game this summer because the Brewers were playing down there, and we actually hopped on a Chicago train, not the Metra, which is a little more high class, but just a regular old, it's kind of scary people on the train. But it dropped us off. Like, we got off and went down the stairs, and like, we were a block away from Wrigley. And I'm like, this is really convenient. It's really kind of nice just to hop on a train and where no one is waiting and with lines, and you just get out, and all of a sudden you're there. So, but we'll be saying goodbye.
It'll make parking easier because you don't have to park. But if you're looking at cost of stadiums, it's like the Raiders' new stadium cost $2 billion. The Rams' new stadium was $5 billion. And nice. I think they're trying to get your municipalities to help pay for part of this. It was part of the controversy with the Bears, like it is any place. But if you're going to just spend almost $200 million on just the land, they're not going to go cheap on the stadium.
Well, let's hope they do.
Exactly.
Just put real grass in. That's all I ask.
Will technically Aaron Rodgers own this stadium as well, or is that just going to be the legend of?
I don't know. He'll have to stick around.
It's true. Get his one or two wins.
That's right.
All right.
Plant his flag in the ground, you know.
Well, for scaring the Bears out of Soldier Field, we're gonna have to call that one. So 3-0 and 1 for the week. We have no predictions this week, but I thought it'd be important for us to review the standings of the games so far this year.
And that's all for tonight, folks. Kelly, can you take us out of there?
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio at our 13th. CD, do you want to try to interrupt? Because I'm just going to keep going.
No, I've learned not to interrupt you. It's polite. Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's just going to gloat that he's ahead of us. Whatever. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. All right. You guys ready? Do you like everything we're talking about?
No.
I'm transitioning.
I don't like any of it, but doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
If I put something I wanted, CD would just delete it away. So it really doesn't matter.
It's like overruled.
Yeah.
Denied.
Anything when I find the time to put something in, he just it's gone. That's all. Nope. Didn't want that. Nope. I have to write my War and Peace. Sorry.